Father God, we give thanks to you for this time that we could gather and that we can sing songs in worship of you and also learn from your word. We pray that you be with us in the different parts of the city, wherever we are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so today we have a sermon today from in the book of Acts, and I want to start by asking two questions. And I need the kids to be involved in this as well. So pay attention, okay? I have two questions to ask for all the kids and big and little kids, okay? Two questions, and I would like you have 30 seconds to think about it, maybe discuss amongst the people that you're around, or discuss in your own head if you're not with anybody else. You have 30 seconds to think about this question and come up with answers, okay? It's two questions. The first question is, what superpower would you have? Okay, and number two, why would you have that superpower? Got it? What superpower would you have, and why would you have that superpower? 30 seconds, think about it. No, go, go, go. Go, 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 go.
Daddy, I
want to
have a new superpower.
Okay, go. They're participating a little too early there. Okay, 30 seconds is up. Okay, who would like to volunteer? You have to unmute to share, okay? So who would like to begin us? Okay, I see the shoe home. Can we unmute the shoe home?
Go ahead.
I would like create because I can create any power.
Okay, so you want to be able to create. So this is like the superpower of superpowers, right? That you can create anything you want, including more superpowers. Okay, that is excellent. Okay, who can top that? Anybody else? Who else can has a superpower?
Me.
Oh, okay. Yes, shoot home again.
Yes, so I would have the power that I could copy stuff, because then when I saw something I don't have to buy, I just need to copy in my head.
Wow.
Wonderful.
This is, wow, okay. You can copy anything you like. Okay. Great. Who else has a superpower they want to share? Valene's hand is up.
Invisible.
You like to turn invisible. Wow, I think I think Maddie also. But, you know, what?
I like to turn invisible when it was bath time.
Oh, you want to be invisible when it's bath time? Because you want to disappear in the bath?
And also, I don't need to be chased around the house.
Okay, very good. Wow. Okay, any big kids that want to contribute something? Amelia, yeah?
I could fly because I would save a lot of money on holiday because I wouldn't have to pay for flight.
Oh, yes. Exactly. You could fly. You could save money on holidays. I don't know if you have to go, you have to self-isolate after you fly to these places, but, you know, you could fly for free. Okay, great. I think David wanted to raise his hand. David, you have something? No. You want to fly as well. Okay. Anybody else have a superhero, a superpower that they want? Noah!
You might shut up.
So, I'd like to shapeshift into any animal.
Shapeshift into any animal. Why?
It's basically hard shapeshift. You can like fly, you can camouflage.
Okay, so it's almost like the superpower that has so many other superpowers in it, right? Kind of like one of the first ones that we had, right? Okay. Anybody else want to share one? Okay, Holam, yes?
Yeah, so I've been watching The Avengers. I would like to be Iron Man.
Iron Man. He has no superpowers.
So he's only smart.
Super smart and rich.
Super smart and rich. That is a type of superpower, I suppose. Yes, that is a very good one. Very good. Okay, excellent. These are great examples of superpowers. And I think, you know, one of the things that I think about, why did I talk about superpowers, right? You know, you think about superpowers. You think about superpowers in the movies. You think about superpowers in comic books, right? Think about somebody like Superman, right? He can fly. Like Amelia was saying, you know, she wants to fly. And why do you want to fly? Because you can get places really quickly, right? You could fly to different places. You could fly around the world. You don't have to worry about driving somewhere, mountains or roads or anything. You just get there, right? And it's much faster than walking. You know, who doesn't like walking here? You know, you could just fly, right? Or somebody like Spider-Man, right? Spider-Man has interesting superpowers because his superpowers are he has sticky fingers, right? He has sticky fingers and sticky feet, and he could stick on walls and ceilings, and so he could creep up to criminals to fight crimes, right? So in other words, superpowers for these superheroes are there to overcome, to get over different problems that are in the world. So today's sermon is actually not on any comic book hero. I apologize for that. But it is about people in the Bible who have special powers and dare I say superpowers, if you will. It comes from the book of Acts, and the story in the book of Acts is the story that comes right after Easter, okay? So what happens in Easter? We all know the story of Easter. Good Friday, Jesus dies on the cross, and then the disciples are really sad, really depressed. And then a few days later, on Easter Sunday, Jesus comes back to life. He rises from the dead. But what does he do after that, right? Most of us know that story of Jesus dying on the cross and coming back to life. But what does he do when he's back alive? And in the book of Acts, in the Bible, it continues the story. And it tells us that Jesus is hanging out for 40 days on earth before he goes to God the Father. Now, for 40 days, what's he doing? You know, if you think about, you know, Jesus, you know, he's died, he's come back to life. He wants to hang out with his friends. Right? So that is part of what he's doing. He's hanging out with his friends for 40 days. Okay? He's having meals, he's eating with them, he's having a good time, right? But and you think about the disciples, they want to hang out with Jesus. They want to spend time with Jesus, right? These 40 days are precious times, right? You think about when somebody, you know, in your family or somebody that you really like being around, you know, has left and been away for a time, and they come back, and it's like, wow, you know, I could spend time with them again. That's what's happening with Jesus. But even more, Jesus knows that he's going to go to God the Father. So when he knows that, he also wants to prepare the disciples. And he says to them all these different things. He teaches them all these different things. And so these 40 days are this time when that is very special, personally for them to spend together, but also for Jesus to teach something before he goes to God the Father. And if you're in your Bibles, I'm just going to read from the Bible, from chapter 1 of Acts. And in verse 4 in particular, Jesus is doing what he does. He's eating. Okay, he's kind of like Chinese, you know. He just loves to eat, right? So Jesus is eating, and he says to his disciples, "Don't leave Jerusalem." Right, they're in Jerusalem right now. He says, "Don't leave Jerusalem. Wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Okay, so this passage is really interesting because he starts by saying, okay, hang on, stay here. There was a baptism that John did with water. There's going to be a baptism with the Holy Spirit. Now, I think for many of us, we may have seen a baptism before, right? Whether we are in church or on TV or whatever, we've seen a baptism. You know, somebody gets dunked in the water, they say a few things, they get dunked in the water, come out, boom, they're out. Baptism. 30 seconds, a minute at most, right? But I'm thinking about this, right? This idea of baptism, Okay, in the Bible, the idea of baptism is almost like taking a bath. Okay? It's like taking a bath. It's like dipping into the water. And I think, you know, I don't know about the people, you know, that are here online right now, but in my home, some people who take baths don't want to take baths, okay? So we say it's bath time. It's like, no, I don't want to take a bath. I don't want to go in. I don't know why that's the case, but some people, I'm not going to name anybody, but there might be somebody who's peering into the camera right now that does not want to take a bath, right? I don't want to take a bath. I don't want to do anything like that. And then, you know, they cry and scream, I don't want to take a bath. But then they get into the bath, right? They get into the bath and they start playing with the bubbles. And they start splashing around the water. And they start putting their head in the water and blowing bubbles and trying to hold your breath underwater. And some in my home will try to float in the bath, right? Because they're small enough to fit fully in the bath and they can float in the bath, right? And they're just enjoying the bath so much. And I say, it's time to get out of the bath. And they say, I don't want to get out of the bath. I don't want to get out of the bath, right? So one time they're screaming, I don't want to be in the bath. But then afterwards they scream, I want to stay in the bath. I don't want to leave the bath. And in the end, when they get out, they're much more relaxed. And they're clean, and they smell nice, and they're actually much happier, okay? I don't know why, you know, but there's something about the bath that does that to you, okay? And if you think about it, the bath, just like baptism, is something that is meant to clean, okay? It is something that is meant to clean us. For John the Baptist, when he did the baptism of Jesus, he was baptizing to say, we are cleaning you. John is cleaning those of sin by baptizing people. But I think another thing is that the baptism itself is something where the water sort of engulfs a person, that the person is in the water, and that moment of the person being in the water is actually something that is quite relaxing, and it's quite good, it's refreshing, it changes the person in a sense. And when they come out of the bath, they're so much more relaxed and so much happier. And likewise, I think when we're talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is this idea where the Holy Spirit is changing people, is bringing something new to people. And at the end, when they come out of it, they have more energy to do things. And so I think there's a lot that baptism is like taking a bath. And I think that is the image that we have in this passage when Jesus is saying this to the disciples. Jesus reminds them that God has already promised to baptize the disciples with the Holy Spirit. And this baptism will clean them. It will be enjoyable, but even more importantly, the baptism changes them because it relaxes them and it gives them energy to do things for God. Then you may ask, how does the baptism of the Holy Spirit change the disciples? That I think is the automatic question that's in my head. Well, the disciples also wonder this, and in verse 6, if you have your Bibles, it says, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Okay, that is the nation of Israel. Jesus replies, it's not for you to know the times or the days the Father has set, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. See, when Jesus talks about baptism of the Holy Spirit, the disciples realize this means they are going to receive a power. This is what Jesus says in these verses, right? They're going to receive a power, if you will, a superpower, okay? They're going to receive some kind of a power. Now, if you think about it, okay, Superman has superpower to fly in order to get places faster. Spider-Man has the power to stick on stick on walls and stuff like that, so he could fight crime in a different way. For the disciples, what is the crime that they want to fix? right? Because when you have a power, that power is there to do something, to help you to overcome something, right? For the disciples, they think, you know, the disciples, they're Jews, they're Israelites. The biggest crime for them to fight is that their nation is not a nation, okay? As in, their nation of Israel was conquered, okay? It was conquered by other people, and now they're under the control of the Romans. So the disciples, they want to fight this crime, fight the crime of their nation being destroyed, being taken over by others. So the disciples want the superpower of the Holy Spirit to free their nation of Israel. And I think about it, when I was thinking about this, I was thinking, you know, what is the biggest crime today? You know, you think about, you know, what are, you know, is it, you know, what are the things, you know, that we think of as crimes? You know, and I actually think that right now, for many of us, the biggest crime is the pandemic. Okay? It is this huge thing that is affecting the whole world. Okay? And it is something, you know, this virus that makes so many people sick and so many lives that are lost. And it isolates people in all different parts of the world. You know, wouldn't you want a superpower from the Holy Spirit to cure people, right? To end this virus, end this pandemic, you know? I don't know, but maybe that is one superpower you would like, you know, this superpower to end all these pandemics. But what does Jesus say to the disciples? First, he says, stop worrying about it, okay? You don't know the times and the dates. Don't worry about these things, okay? An end will come when things are going to be renewed, okay? So don't focus on this, okay? Don't focus on Israel. Don't focus on the end of the pandemics. It will come to pass, okay? It will end. But secondly, Jesus says, the power of the Holy Spirit will mean you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Now, what does it mean to be a witness? Nowadays, we hear this word witness in the context of a court. You know, when you have somebody that comes up and says, ah, this is the truth. I saw it happen. This is what happened, right? They're a witness to something, right? They give evidence of what is the truth, right? And this is quite similar in the Bible, because for Jesus, you know, to say the disciples are witnesses means that they are to share the truth about God, to tell people about who God is and what he has done, but also to show people about God by doing things that are loving and showing that they follow God. But also there's these places, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And they're basically places where the disciples eventually go. Now, many people will say that, you know, in the book of Acts, if you read the whole book of Acts, right, that the whole book of Acts, you have, you know, the first 7 chapters of the book of Acts that the disciples are in Jerusalem. Then the next few chapters, they're in Judea and Samaria. And then in chapters 11 and on to the last chapter, they're going to the ends of the earth. That is, they're going to the farthest reaches of the world that they know of. So for them, these are the various places that they are going around. And they go for different reasons. You know, they go because they feel that God wants them to share the gospel in this place. Others are sent there because of different natural events that happen. Some are chased out, okay, because of their faith. You know, so there's various reasons for that. But fundamentally, these are places where the disciples are or happen to be. They are the places they go to and they are living. See, while the disciples want to have a superpower to fix the crime, the great crime of Israel under the control of another, and while we may want a superpower to overcome the crime of COVID-19, the coronavirus pandemic, Jesus says the superpower of the Holy Spirit is to be witnesses, is to fix the crime that the world does not know God. It's funny because immediately after Jesus says these things, he zooms away. He disappears. He goes up into the heavens, right? So it's almost like he's going up to God, right? And he goes up into the sky. And then these two men in white, they're angels, okay? These angels, they say to the disciples, why are you staring up there in the sky? Okay, I know that Jesus just went up there, but why are you staring up there in the sky? And effectively, I think that these angels, they're saying to the disciples, why are you focused on these things up in the sky, up in the future, up in somewhere far away? Jesus already told you what you need to do. You need to be his disciples, his witnesses, wherever you are. And that includes here. That includes Jerusalem, where you are right now. And for us, too, this is what God wants of us. Be Jesus' disciples wherever you are, wherever you happen to be, wherever you happen to go. For all of us, we are on lockdown. That's why we are in our homes, in our in front of our computers or devices, joining in this service together. But that also means that we happen to be there. That is where God has placed us. So we are to be Jesus' witnesses in our homes, to our neighbors, to those who are alone around us, maybe those who are older and not as healthy, to check in on people, those who need help. We are to be Jesus' witnesses to these people. For some of us, we are still working. And so for us, we are to be Jesus' witnesses in the workplace. And that's actually pretty hard if you think about it. Because I'm on like video chats all week long, right? I'm in all these meetings online, and it's very easy to just like tune out in the conversation or whatever, and not really care about the person on the other end, you know. But how are we witnesses to people that we are interacting with online? During this time, both at home and at work, things, I'll be honest with you for myself, are stressful. Okay, it is really hard. And to actually be on a screen all the time is quite tiring, right? And it's tiring, it's stressful. We want to break from the screen. We want to get out, especially when the sun is so beautiful outside. We want to go out, and play. We want to enjoy, different things that are out there. But at the same time, we are here at the moment. And we are in our homes or with work or whatever, and we are told that we are baptized by the Holy Spirit. If you're a Christian, you are baptized by the Holy Spirit. And that means that you are able to soak in God's presence, to enjoy God's presence. That's actually why meeting together as a church is a good thing, because it reminds us of God's presence in our lives. That's why reading the Bible and praying as individuals or together is a good thing right now, because, and even more so a good thing right now, because we are baptizing ourselves in the Holy Spirit, in the presence of the Holy Spirit. But even more, we are to be God's witnesses wherever we are. Okay, so here's an assignment. Okay, yes, some of you are homeschooling, some of you are no longer in school, but there is still an assignment. Okay, this week you have an assignment. And I want you to think about this assignment, okay? And I want you to think about how you can be a witness of God to the people around you in lockdown this week. For kids, maybe you guys have tuned out already. I don't know, hopefully not. But for the kids, maybe it's your parents or your brother or sister, if you have one, For the adults, maybe it's the other adults, that you interact with, whether it's in your home or beyond. How are you able to be witnesses of who God is during this week? How are you able to show them the love and the patience and the forgiveness of God that is evidenced in the Bible and in the life of the church? How can you show them the superpowers of the Holy Spirit? Let's end this time in prayer. Father God, we give thanks to you for all that you bless us with. Thank you indeed for your Holy Spirit. Thank you firstly for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and rose again to give us life, to offer us new life. And thank you also for the promised Holy Spirit that we have. as Christians, and that we are able to enjoy and to revel in and to bathe within. Help us to recognize your Spirit in our lives, but also help us to recognize how your Spirit empowers us, gives us the strength, gives us the courage, gives us the willingness to be your witnesses. To be your witnesses wherever we go, whether it be in our homes or in our workplaces or online, help us to be your witnesses in all these places. We thank you. In Jesus Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.